Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, family. Yes, this is Man Up here, hosted by Pastor E. We thank God for you this evening. We are moving forward. Excuse for the delay. We have muted ourselves on all avenues. This is the relaunch. Yes, the foundation has been set. We're calling all men to join the discussion. Let's keep it real. Let's keep it relevant. But let's get revelation. See, I first know that before I could ever ask anyone else to do better, I must know, I must do better myself. Let's join the movement that we will do better now. Madam simply means now is my time to fight. Taking personal responsibility for my own life. I'm no longer relying on my personal abilities, but on God's complete guidance. My steps are ordered by the Lord. I'm walking in purpose with God. I'm holding myself accountable, dedicated and committed to a life of constant change and growth. I am no longer operating with the double mind. I am operating with the Christ characteristics that dwell in me. I am the head and not the tail. I am the lender and not the borrower. I am called according to my purpose, and I am the God in me through Jesus Christ. We're calling all to man up. Well, God bless you all. God bless you. This is Pastor E here. We're excited. I'm here excited. Let's see. Okay, yeah, anyway, as most people know, you know we're doing some kind of pre-promo music before our show starts. Amen. But here, we're here to man up. Tonight, we have in our presence, mighty man of God, a friend of mine that I've met over, I can't even tell you how long it's been. It's been several years that we've been connected and have done many ministries together. And our special in-studio guest tonight is Apostle William Whitfield. And we're going to be talking about men that are delighted to serve God. So without any further ado, come on, put your hands together as we welcome my brother, Pastor Whitfield. How you doing, my brother?
I'm doing fine. How about yourself, Pastor E?
Good to hear
I am
you,
blessed, sir. Always, always. It's a little bit taken today. We had an awesome revival this Sunday in the city of Watts on the corner, and we just shouted to Jesus. So if you hear any crinkling, that is because of that. But welcome, sir. Good to have you back to the network.
Good to be back.
Amen.
And glad to hear about the revival. Amen.
Oh, it was off the chain. We had such a great time. But it's been a while since you've been here. You know, we're not really formatted or where we send you a paper and say, tell us about you. We want you to tell our listeners who you are, what the Lord has you going on, and why are you here tonight?
Amen. God bless everyone that's listening in. I greet you all in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My name is Apostle William Whitfield, and I reside in Baltimore, Maryland. Amen. Amen. And I thank God for the opportunity to be here this evening. I've been in ministry for quite a number of years, about 30 years now, within the past 8 year, or actually since 2018, God called me to the to apostleship, and we've been walking in that ministry ever since. Amen. Amen. So we're just grateful unto the Lord to serve the Lord through the means of virtual social media, which our ministry is primary through, our prayer ministry as well as our word ministry. And we have quite a number of people that are part of our ministry. So I just want to thank God again for you, Pastor Heath, for making the invitation here for us to be here tonight.
Amen. Amen. Well, I guess we're both excited because I'm glad to have you tonight. And we ministered before, so I know the goodness that God does through your advice and through your wisdom. But it's been a
yes.
few years, so I just kind of want to just reboot, you know, reconnect. And so what's going on in your region? What does God have going on in your ministry right now?
Right now, we are actually doing a lot of mentoring and teaching, developing leaders. We have actually been mentoring leaders for ordination that's coming up in June of this year. We've also have been partnering with other ministries on the East Coast where we have been training leaders. Right now I'm teaching a series on the prophetic as well as teaching other leaders how to develop their gifts and walk in their gifts. And to recognize their gifts. We're talking about people walking authentically in the anointings that God has called them to, not what man has designated for them to walk in, but recognizing the anointing, know that it is God and not man, and releasing people to walk in the authority and power that God has granted in their lives. And that's what we're focusing on. We're actually getting ready to embark on a weekend where we're just spending time with the Lord through prayer and just focusing on what God wants in this next season and next hour for the people of God overall. Amen.
Amen. Let the church say amen. That's one thing that has been such a fire in our ministry is prayer. And dealing with city officials, dealing with the political sides of even ministry, dealing with the political sides of doing outreach in the streets as a 501c3. One thing that we're hearing less of in our country, in our churches, in our homes, in our schools is prayer. So we're really excited to continue to connect with people like yourself that always have been substantiated and founded on prayer. It's one thing that I really admire about you and the way you conduct yourself. As you can tell, you are a praying man of God. And that's something I want to share or get to talk about tonight as we talk about a man who's delighted. Now, you know, that was pretty, when you sent me that subject, it was like, well, yeah, that's for me. But that is for everybody, that you have to be delighted in serving God and not like you're a prisoner or like you're made to do it or unhappy. You have to follow God, and it doesn't feel good. And you should be unhappy. You should be upset. You should be out of your way. But following God, those
right.
things come, but we must resist those things and become stronger men. So I want to give you an opportunity this is speak to us men. I love.
Yes.
I listen to you a lot. You know, I listen to you a lot. You're one man of God of few that I will listen and go on your page and follow and continue to listen to the things that God is speaking to you. And I would just love to give you the opportunity to speak on that being delighted to serve God tonight. And instead of, it's not an interview. We know enough about you already. You're a man of God. You're my friend. You, this is your house as well as mine. But God just really instructed me to listen and let you speak into not only my life, but all the men that lives are connected to this broadcast tonight. Then we're going to come back, open the lines, get some feedback, get some awesome questions going. But just wanted to honor you with that.
Amen. Amen.
Let me pray. Yes, sir. Oh, I'm ready. I got my notepad. I'm ready. I invited you to this region. But Heavenly Father God, I just thank you tonight. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to hear from you. I thank you, Lord, that you continue to send your son to this network to share and to unite and to walk with us men that want to walk like you, want to be like you, want to act like you, and want to imitate you. So Heavenly Father God, have your way. As we decrease, you increase. Take over control of the network. Take control over the microphone. Take control over the internet. Take control over the phone lines. And have your way as we submit to this man of God, as if you're sitting before us, that, Lord, we can receive a new word, that our lives will be changed, will be rearranged, and will be transformed by the renewing of our minds. In that name that is above every name, we pray in agreement. Jesus Christ is Lord. Let the church say amen. Have your way, man of God.
Amen. God bless you, Pastor E. Once again, amen. And God bless each and every person that is listening in this evening. I really thank God for the invitation, because when the man of God stated that he wanted me to be a part of this great vision and ministry that he's doing, the very first thing I heard in my spirit was men delighted to serve God. And I don't think that it took me very long to hear from God, and I responded to Pastor E right away, I do believe. And I just want to cover some scriptures and some thought processes, because, again, we as men, when I look at the church world itself, I see that the church really doesn't have a strong male population, dependent upon the church and the strength of the pastor, whether male or female. But yet, in the vast majority of ministries that I have opportunity to minister at, I notice that the women are the predominant members of the church, and there may be two or three men or a smaller population of men, depending upon the size of the church. But God has a rich heritage of men throughout scriptures, amen. And we're going to be talking about men delighted to serve the Lord, amen. Amen. When we look at the scripture, there are quite a number of scriptures that actually advocate men in ministry, along with our female counterparts. In Acts, the 13th chapter, the 22nd verse, it says, "And when he had removed them," talking about King Saul, "he raised up unto them David to be their king." And the latter part of that verse says, "I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." When God gave me the title, I began to really seek the Lord as to why was this particular topic so relevant, and why did he speak it so clearly, so quickly? And when we look at how God does things, we have to realize that God has a message in it for whoever is listening. One thing that I really believe in, I am a man of prayer, as Pastor E stated. I believe in the power of prayer. I believe that God hears us when we cry out, and we cannot live or do ministry or even be a part of what God wishes to do without prayer. Amen. Amen. But when I sought the Lord, I asked him, why is it that we don't really see a lot of men embracing Jesus and who he is? And when he gave the answer, it sort of kind of shocked me, but it didn't really shock me. But the thing is this, he said that most men really don't see Jesus as being a real man. Most men really don't view him as being a real man, or let me rephrase it, a man's man. So we often, as men, we relate to whom we are around or who we see and how they act, their character, what they do as men, what they're doing, manly traits, manly things. And we tend to gravitate towards them because of the fact that we could see something in them that we ourselves can identify with. And oftentimes in ministry and church, we really don't portray Jesus as the man that he is. He was born, yes, he was born of a virgin, through a virgin birth, but he was born as the king of the Jews. You can find that in Matthew, the second chapter, in the second verse, where it says he that is born is king of the Jews. So Jesus was born in royalty, which means that he had some rank, he had some privilege, and he had some authority. And he had some power. We as men, we love to exercise our manly authority. We love to walk in being the head. And we love to be able to make good, sound judgments and decisions. Jesus was a man who made good, solid decisions. And even some things about Jesus that we can identify with as well, depending upon our background and our experiences. He was on the run for the first few years of his life because someone wanted to kill him, okay? And given the fact that some of us live in inner cities and then younger men, we always know that or see that the crime rate that in gangs and things of that nature and how oftentimes we see our young males cut off early in life before they even have an opportunity to live. But Jesus understands that as well because he was on the run for the first few years of his life because a man by the name of Herod wanted to kill him as a child because he understood that Jesus was born to walk in authority. Whenever the enemy sees that God has a purpose for us, he tries to cut us off long before we have the opportunity to actually thrive and survive. And oftentimes through wisdom, we can avoid some of those circumstances by making good choices as well, by being around the right people, being around the right brothers, being around the right situations, avoiding going off with people that we know don't have our best interests in mind. And we as older men, we should also bring the younger men to the side, and we should actually have good conversations, good wholesome conversations. And I know that some of us are raised in the street, that we know things about the street, but yet let's bring them to the side and talk to them about business and being developed and growing because on the inside of you, I believe Donald Lawrence has a song out that says, on the inside of there's a king on the inside of you. Let's draw out that good part of that young man's life. Let's look at the positive and accentuate the positive and let them know that, look, you are more than what you perceive yourself to be in this particular moment. You are more than what you think you are. We want you to apply yourself so that king can come out of the inside of you and come to the forefront and manifest himself and become the person that God intended for you to be. You don't have to take down. You don't have to take the road less or the road that is popular, that most people tend to travel. There are talents in you. There are giftings in you. There are things that God wants to draw out, and yet submitting yourself to tutorship, to being tutored, and allowing someone to actually help you to see those things that's on the inside of you by which you can grow and develop and become a good part of that. So Jesus was also brilliant. And oftentimes, depending upon our experience, we don't understand just how intelligent we really are. Jesus was very intelligent in Mark, the first chapter, the 22nd verse. And it says that they were astonished at his doctrine. This was a young man, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes taught. So he had some intellectual abilities that were far beyond his years, far beyond his age, far beyond his schooling, far beyond what he had been taught, so much so that he was actually confounding those who were learned. Let's make it plain. These were men that he was actually around teaching the doctrine who were lawyers. They were the equivalent of doctors, professors. These were religious, educated men who made a life study of studying the word, and yet here was this young boy who was so brilliant that he was astounding them, astonishing them with what he taught and what he says. Some of us as young people or even as men, we have a level of education that someone has not taught us, that no one has taught us. And some of us have degrees and some of us have other learning. But yet, some of the things that we say, if we really pay attention and have someone really listen to what we are saying, we have some wisdom and we have some understanding of some things that people may not think that we have. I look at young boys that are out here dealing with drugs. They have a business mind. But yet someone has not pulled them to the side to help to develop that business mind, steer them down the right path, show them how to set up a legitimate business and be able to make money and to be able to make good money to sustain them to the very point that they can live a life that is full of luxury because of what they have in their mind. It's just that it's not been drawn out. But Jesus understood that he was a very brilliant young man because he had his father's backing with him. He was also a very independent and focused and a responsible child. I want to pull that out because in Luke the second chapter, verse 49, his parents were seeking him. His earthly parents were seeking him. But yet he was responsible in his purpose and in his mind, because when they found him, he said, how is it that ye sought me, wishing not that I must be about my father's business? He was very serious, focusing on what his purpose was. And oftentimes the Jews, when they're raising their young boys, what they do, they find out what they are gifted and talented in, and they begin to work with them to help them to develop their gifting. If they see that child is gifted in science, then their focus is going to be science. If they see that child is gifted in math, they're going to focus on math. If they see that they're looking to be a mechanic and they are a student at that, they work with that child until they develop those skills and place them on a path for success and not a path of failure. Oftentimes, we as parents, we speak negativity over our children's lives when we should be speaking positivity over their lives and to encourage them to do those things that they really should be doing and developing in. And Jesus was developing in his Heavenly Father's business. And oftentimes, even in the church, we could be developing our giftings and walking with the Lord and talking with him and teaching our young men and us as men having a prayer life and being about our Father's business, studying the word, being in prayer, and just being in the house of faith, because it's not just a place for women. It's a place for men, because in the scripture, there was always strong, godly leadership. Okay? He was a man that looked out for his mother from the very beginning to the very end. And you see that in John, the 19th chapter, when he's on the cross, when he's about to die, he was being crucified. But when he saw his mother, he said to his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. because he wanted to make sure that his mother was taken care of. Going back to the statement previously, he was very responsible. And being responsible, especially now with our young men, we that are men that have actually stood the test of time, knowing that looking out for our families, our homes, our sons, our daughters, our wives, our family members, just having a sense of community and family. And years ago, I remember on Sundays, families used to come together for dinner. Nobody was missing from the dinner. The house was full of children. We have lost those days, I believe, to a degree. I don't know what's going on in California, but most of the time here, I know that we've been in the pandemic and we've not been able to come together. But yet, what about coming together on Zoom or social media, FaceTime, all of those different platforms, and being able to just socialize with one another, telling one another that I love you, I care for you, I'm concerned about you, getting rid of the anger, the bitterness. And oftentimes we as men, we have an air of bitterness or anger because of disappointment. Some of us don't, some of us do, but those that don't, God bless you. We really appreciate you. And this is where you can actually sow those positive seeds of how you have overcome, or if you never struggled with it, then this is where we could teach our young men, look, you don't have to walk around with anger and bitterness in your spirit. You don't have to walk around with that in your soul. You can be set free from it. You can be set free from it. You don't have to carry that. We could pray with you. We could sit down and we could have conversations. We could talk through it because of a sense of community, a sense of understanding, and a sense of, look, I'm here for you, brother. I got your back. Okay, if you're down, I'm going to help to lift you up. If you need to be pushed, I'm going to push you in the right direction. If you need to be encouraged, I'm here to encourage you. If you need a shoulder to cry on, this shoulder is a welcoming shoulder for you to cry on, because real men do cry. The Bible even said that Jesus wept when Lazarus, his best friend, died, although he would later raise him from the dead. But the scriptures still say that he wept. And oftentimes we have suppressed emotions because we don't want to cry. We don't want to cry in front of people. We don't want to cry when we're alone. And even when something devastating happens, some of us still are trying to suppress the tears. Look, let those tears flow. That's a good release. That is a really good release. We can avoid a lot of anger issues if we just had a good release, a good cry, a really deep cry to get some of those things that we have been hurt by out of our spirit. Amen. Jesus was also an honest man in his occupation. He was a carpenter, so he was a carpenter, which means that, okay, think about those of you that are skilled laborers. Okay, carpentry, you know just how involved it is and how that's good money that you can make in carpentry. But nowadays we have power tools. Jesus didn't have power tools. They didn't have power tools back in that day. Everything was manual labor, which means that Jesus had to have some strength. He had to have upper body strength. We know how we go to the gym and work out. He had upper body strength. He had muscles. He had forearm strength. He had the ability to use his legs effectively to lift up heavy wooden objects and mold them and craft them using the tools that he had, saws and sanders and all those things that were manual. So he had a real man's job. You can imagine his hands had calluses on them. Okay, it's nothing wrong with good, hard work. Amen. Good, hard work. A man that delights himself in the Lord is one that lives and works and provides for his family. Because the scripture says if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. We have a lot of brothers that are sick that aren't working, that should be working. Now, if you're out of work due to circumstances and you're seeking employment, we understand that. But I'm talking to the brothers that just don't want to work. They want somebody else to take care of them, okay? And those that are taking care of them, you are called an enabler. You are enabling bad behavior. But a man that delights in the Lord, I know some of you probably say he's being hard. No, I'm not being hard. I'm being realistic. A real man works. A real man takes care of himself. And a real man takes care of those of whom he's responsible for. And they find a way of doing it that is creative and is honest. Jesus was a carpenter. You can find that in Mark, the 6th chapter, in the 3rd verse, where it says, "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary?" Okay, talking about his mother Mary. So he was a very strong man physically, as well as he had a great work ethic. Men that delight in the Lord have a great work ethic. God told Adam that he created him to till the ground, to take care of the Garden of Eden. So God, when he first created man, man's first obligation was to serve God and to work, to labor, to work. Amen. 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 Also, Jesus was a man that walked with other real men who were professional men. Amen. So he called 12 disciples, and you can see that in Luke, the 6th chapter, the 13th verse. But he called men. Listen to this. He called men who were professionals. He called Peter, who was a fisherman. He owned his own business. He had a tax collector, Matthew. I know this is tax season. I know we hate tax season. Amen. But it's the law of the land. It's the law of God. Amen. Amen. But he had a tax collector that walked with him. He also had a physician. He had a doctor that walked with him, and men that had other talents. And also in the group, he had ultimately a person by the name of Judas, which will betray him in the future. But yet Jesus knew each and every one of them, and he knew each and every one of their occupations. He knew their heart. And listen, he took the time to, although they were professional people, men, had their own businesses, their own practices, he pulled them to the side and he began to mentor them about the things of the kingdom of his Father. He wanted these 12 men to ultimately delight themselves so much as in the Lord that after his death, burial, and resurrection, they would continue to carry his message based upon what he imparted into their hearts. I'm going back to an earlier point. How often do we have someone who is making a deposit, an honest, integral investment of wisdom and soundness into our lives, that even if they should go on and move out of our lives, or they should go home and be with the Lord, years later, those lessons of value that they taught us, they are still resurfacing, even if we did not get it then. But later in life, those words will resurface in our heart. Even if the person doesn't seek you out, you should seek out someone that you see that walks in wisdom and ask them, look, I see something in you that I don't see in myself that I need to carry me through the future. Can you be my mentor? And make sure that you're very selective about who you choose to mentor you, because you want people that have substance, that have godly character, that know how to speak wisdom, that's taking care of their own affairs, that's not going to tell you something that's wrong, that's going to walk you down the path of what is right. And what they tell you will be a good investment, and that you can grow and develop as a result of it. You always want someone that you know has your best interest in mind, and they can see a return on their investment. Look, those of us who invest money, when you invest it, you're looking to see a return. You're not looking for a deficit. You're looking for a positive, substantial return. The words that they invest in you should carry you through to the point that you exceed and excel anything that they have done or in their lives, and they could look back and not be jealous at you, but applaud you for the accomplishments that you've achieved. You always want someone to be in your corner to celebrate you. If you have someone that's tearing you down or become jealous because you've exceeded, then that wasn't the person that make impartation into your life. If you have a person that does not want to expend time, effort, and energy with you, then that's not the mentor that God has for you. Jesus spent 3.5 years walking with his disciples, making impartation, and after his death, burial, and resurrection, he came back to make sure that what he taught them was instilled in them. And not only that, 50 days after his ascension into heaven, he sent back the Holy Ghost so that it would indwell them. The Spirit of the living God would indwell them, and every lesson that he taught them, they would be able to recall to mind and remembrance. One of the major things that we as men need, if we're going to delight in the Lord, we need to be saved, and we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Okay, somebody said, okay, I was wondering when he was going to get to that part. Okay, and someone said, didn't even think he was going to get to that part. Yes, but when we are men, the first thing that we should be seeking the Lord for is the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Over the past several weeks, I've just been fixated on watching things about Azusa Street. And I'm so fascinated, not just by Azusa Street, but with all the generals that were connected that came out of that movement. And what I see is one man in simplicity with a very humble heart who was able, by the Spirit of the living God, being filled with the Holy Ghost, although others prior to him received it, although he was teaching it. But when he became filled with the Holy Ghost, what he taught, what he did, he didn't take center stage. He allowed the Holy Spirit to have his way. And what happened is that his humility led to an explosive growth of the church throughout the world by being baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's phenomenal. That's amazing. One major thing that God could bring in your life can bring a ripple effect that can impact other people positively for years, decades, and centuries to come if the earth should continue. You never know what God is going to put inside of you to be that positive strength. Jesus was also a man that stood up for himself in righteousness, okay? He stood, listen to this, he was a rough and tough man because he stood against the roughest, most brutal male gang out there during his day, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. The religious government, the well-educated, the self-righteous, okay, the ones that wanted to kill him, the ones that he came to stand against because of their doctrine. Listen, you should always take a stand. A real man takes a stand for what is right. Regardless of the masses that are speaking against something, a real man is always going to stand up and say what is right. Jesus by himself stood up against a whole host of Pharisees and listened to the language that he used in Matthew's 12th chapter and the 34th verse. Said, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? He was talking to them because he knew that what they were saying, their doctrine, their way of life was not according to the word of God, that they were professing to have learned, understood, comprehended intellectually, not spiritually, but intellectually. And I want to reemphasize that not spiritually. God is looking for men who will delight themselves in not learning just the intellectual aspect of the word, but the spiritual aspect. The Bible said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, although I'm talking to the men primarily, this still is applicable to anyone in Christendom, women as well. But he stood up against them and he used the words that God put in his mouth. Okay, that was strong language back in that day. Ye serpents, ye generations of vipers. In other words, your mouths are full of poison. I studied snakes some time ago, and most people thought that the venom of a snake is actually in its body. No, the poison sacs are located directly behind its eyes. So it sees you, then it infects you. You have to be able to see what the enemy sees and what the devil sees long before he sees that you see it and before he has an opportunity to spill his venom. But yet you could say what you need to say in wisdom and say it in such a stern way that people will know where you stand and they will not come up against you. We can make a stand for that which is right, but the only way that we're going to know what's right is by delighting ourselves in the Lord, delighting ourselves in scripture reading, becoming a part of a church or a ministry where pastors such as Pastor E or those who know the Word of God can give you godly wisdom and instruction and lead you down the right path so that when you need to make a stand, your stand is based upon the Word of God. And God does what's and allows you to say what is pleasing in his sight. Listen, there's another story about a man about David. We talked about him earlier. Okay, the armies of Israel were immobilized. Okay, there was a giant, a behemoth of a man by the name of Goliath, who was taunting the armies of God. And David went out against them, and Goliath looked at him like this little scrawny boy, and he mocked him and told him that he was going to kill him and all this other stuff. And David said, but you have defied the armies of the Lord. And today, I'm going to take care of business. I'm going to just paraphrase it. I'm going to take care of business. In other words, okay, today, I'm going to give your carcass to the birds of the air. Listen, whenever God places something in your spirit as a man, you could take a stance, because what God will do is stand by you, support you. When you stand for that which is right, God will always support righteousness. He always support righteousness. He always support righteousness. I had a situation a couple of years ago, and I thought that the situation was not going to go in my favor. But God spoke to me and told me what was going to happen, and it played out just the way that it did because I decided not to use the tactics that other people use. I chose to use the tactics of righteousness, and God vindicated me. And the person that was setting up a trap for me, they themselves literally fell into that self-same trap. And they themselves lost out on something major for their lives as a result. So when you take a stance and stand by that which is right and do what is right, he will allow you to actually stand for what's right. A man who delights himself in God will never be manipulated. He will never be manipulated. Jesus stood up against the manipulative doctrines that were trying to ensnare him in his own words. Own words. And two situations, one where a woman was caught in the act of adultery according to the Levitical law in Leviticus, the 20th chapter, both the man and the woman should have been brought, but they just brought the woman because they wanted to see what Jesus was going to do. So they tried to ensnare him in the words, and they said, this woman sinned, and she is worthy to be stoned. So Jesus, didn't he lose his cool? A real man of God that delights himself in the Lord knows how to control his temperament. Jesus just stooped down, began to write in the ground with his finger. And after all the accusations flew, he just stood up and asked a simple question, or made a simple statement, he who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. Talk about cool. How cool is that? That he didn't get rattled. He didn't allow them to bother him. He knew what they were up to. A real man sees through the smoke screen of the manipulative behaviors of others and know how to address it coolly. Don't allow people to cause you to get upset. Don't cause people to rattle your cage. When Jesus made his statement, he just stooped back down, went to writing in the sand again, and ultimately everyone began to drop their stones and walk away. And when he saw that they had walked away, he rose up again and asked the woman, okay, where's your accusers? They're none. He tells her to go her way and sin no more, because he was not going to allow people to manipulate him. Oftentimes we see that people are manipulating. We as men, we allow our pride to get in the way. Well, I'm going to handle mine. I'm going to say what I need to say. I'm going to approach that brother. I'm going to handle this situation. And oftentimes we don't handle it appropriately or correctly. Instead of looking like the victor, the enemy makes us look like fools. But God doesn't want us to look like fools. God wants us to look like the person that handled the situation well. We can use a perfect example from this past week. The coach from, forget the team, but the college basketball team who swung out and hit the other coach. Now he's without a job because he didn't use wisdom. He lost his cool. How often are we in situations as men and we lose our cool? We lose our cool. But here's the situation where Jesus could have lost his cool. He could have gone off on him, and he was right to do it because he could have brought the law out that they were trying to avoid, the correct law. But yet he knew what the law said, so he didn't have to operate a certain way. When you know that you are right, you don't have to act unseemly, because the truth always has a way are coming to the surface. When a true man delight in the Lord, the truth will always prevail. The truth will always prevail. Amen? The truth will always prevail. He stood up against those things that were wrong. He stood up for those things that were right. And we as men, when we stand up for what's right, and we look out for people, we don't have to worry about anything going the wrong way. Even when Jesus was falsely accused, listen to this, and arrested. He was arrested. His best, or one, not his best friend, but one of those that walked with him betrayed him with a kiss. And he was falsely accused. And he didn't even open up his mouth. The scriptures say he was like a lamb led to the slaughter. All of this because he knew that he was innocent. Even when Pilate's wife had a dream about him, saying, telling Pilate, had nothing to do with this righteous man, for I was troubled in the dream. He still didn't speak up. He could have called a whole host of angels, a whole host of angels to come to his defense. Think about that. He's a God. He's a king. He's a king from heaven. He could have easily called a whole host of angels to come to his defense. I'm going to break it down this way. I don't even know if they still use this term, but forgive me that I'll reveal my age by using this term. He could have called his homies and had his homies come help him to take care of business. But he chose not to. He chose to stand there knowing that he was going to be vindicated. And because he knew he was going to be vindicated, there was no need to take that stand. Sometimes we're in situations and we want to handle business, but we will be vindicated. A man that delights himself in the Lord finds the ways of God. The way of God is through prayer, trusting, okay, trusting in the Lord with all our hearts, with all of our might, with all of our soul, with all of our understanding, leaning not until our own understanding, but acknowledging him, and he shall direct our footsteps. We need Jesus as men. God needs us as men to serve him. God wants to do something great, but he wants the men. Think about all of our young men that are out there that are incarcerated. If someone had stood up and taken time with them, would they be in jail? Would some of them be dead today? Would they still yet be alive, having a positive impact? Too many times we see young men and we allow the enemy to snatch them before their time. And it's not time for them to go, because the enemy knows that they have purpose, and if he could kill the purpose in them and kill them, that he could also kill answers that we needed. There are things that are lying in the grave. There are things that are sitting in prison that could have made a change, a dynamic change in the lives of us that are living now. But now we don't have the benefit of it because someone didn't take the time to develop them. But God wants us as men to have a heart for other men. And we cannot have a heart for others unless we have a heart for God. Let me go back to talking about prayer. Because prayer is not a mystery. Prayer is really having a conversation with the Lord, dialogue, conversation, talking to him from the depths of your heart, from the depths of your spirit, real deal conversations that are not religious driven. Whenever I talk to the Lord in prayer, I talk to him and I let him know exactly how I'm feeling. I let him know exactly where I am, the temptation that I may be facing with. I let him know just how it makes me feel. And if I'm angry, I let him know how that made me feel and how I don't want to feel that way. And God, if you don't help me, I'm going to continue that way. A man that delights in God does not hide anything from the Lord. Listen, because he sees it anyway. Everything is laid bare and open before the Lord. He sees everything. He knows everything. Even things that we don't know about ourselves, he knows. So why not tell him the truth that he already knows anyway? And he just want to see, are we going to be man enough to say, God, this is where I really am? Adam sinned and hid. And God knew he hid. God already knew what he had done. When he called Adam after Adam sinned, he and Eve, and he knew that they had made fig leaves for themselves. He wanted to know why Adam sinned. Had he not hid from God and told God the truth that God already knew, God could have actually done something great for Adam. But because Adam lied and Eve lied and the serpent lied, we are suffering now as a result. All of humanity is suffering as a result. But God had to allow a second Adam to come into the world, Jesus Christ, to redeem man from his lost state, to save man, to bring man out of a horrible state if we would accept his son, Jesus Christ. God wants us as men to embrace his son, a real man. Now, I didn't talk about all the traits and characteristics about Jesus being a real man, because he even said at one point, the foxes have holes, the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. No, he wasn't homeless, but he's well experienced in camping. So he took on some of manly characteristics and pastimes, not because he wanted to, but because of necessity of his traveling ministry. He had to do what he needed to do. So he knows how to rough it. But if we understand that Jesus can identify, even the scriptures say that he can identify with every point of man's experience in life. In other words, he was tempted, listen to this, on every single point, every sin that is out there, everything that we struggle with as men, whether it's something that is sexual in nature, whether it's anger, whether it's bitterness, whether it's wanting to slap someone, or whatever the case may be, he was tempted with all of that, all of that. So he can personally identify with our experience, with our struggles. But the Bible said he was tempted on all points, but yet he was without sin. He was able to overcome it because of the help of his Father. We want deep down on the inside, we as men, we want help. We want somebody to help us. We want to overcome our struggles. We want to do what's right. But the only way that we could do right and do right perpetually, we must embrace a real man who walked the face of the earth. And his name is Jesus. And listen, Jesus was not a handsome man. The Bible said that there is nothing in him that we would be attracted to him. So he blended in with the crowd. If he did not declare who he was, or we did not feel his power, we all would have missed him. But to show that he's able to identify, listen, even when it came down to his walk on the earth, he delighted to please the Father, which means that he sat with sinners and those who needed him, those that did not have it together. If you're waiting to get it together to serve the Lord, let me tell you this, you will never have it together in and of yourself. You need the help of Jesus Christ. We all need the help of a real man to get us there. And Jesus is the man for the job. And listen to this. He doesn't condemn. And some of us as men, we're not used to true love, true agape love, the love that is being expressed to show us that I'll love you unconditionally regardless of what you've done. Society may hold a tag and a label over you for the remainder of your life, but once Jesus forgives you of any wrong and any sin that you have done, he casts all of that into the sea of forgiveness to remember it no more. So you don't have to worry about walking around with that stigma over your head because, listen, he will make you a new man. The scriptures say, behold, all things are passed away. And behold, all things are become brand new. He will make you a new creation. If you can delight yourself in him and listen to him, follow him, embrace him, and let him come into your heart and become Lord and Savior. And even those that are saved, we also need a new encounter with the Lord. We need a new encounter for the Lord because even some of us who have been walking with the Lord as men, our zeal, our fire has gone out. Our passion for the Lord has gone out. And some of us are embarrassed to even identify with the name of Jesus Christ to let people know that we serve the Lord. No, your boldness needs to be restored. Your joy, the joy of the Lord needs to be restored because the Bible said that the joy of the Lord is your strength. David said, renew in me a right spirit. When he prayed the songs of repentance in Psalms 51, when his sin was discovered, he prayed and asked God to create in him a clean heart, to restore unto him the joy of his salvation, so that he would have a willing heart to serve him all the days of his life, and that he would cause sinners to know of the goodness of the Lord, to paraphrase it. God wants us as men, listen, in the Bible, men were the priests. We were the responsible ones for the things of God, the tabernacle of God, all the holy vessels. We were the ones to teach our children about God. We were the ones that we put that burden on our wives and the women. But it's the man's responsibility to teach his family about righteousness and to lead them to righteousness. We wonder why our society is out of whack, because we're out of order. If we as men can come back into order and delight ourselves in following the Lord and bringing our families back to God, we can see a lot of things change and turn. Amen. Amen. God wants us to delight ourselves in him. Men, all you have to do is let the Lord know, I need you. I need you, God, to come into my heart. Fill me with your spirit and make me an agent of change so that I can impact this world for your glory and your name's sake. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. I'll turn it back over to you, Pastor E. God bless you, sir. Oh, Pastor E, are you there, sir? Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Not sure if we're still in the air or Pastor E is there. Amen. But if you're there and you don't know Jesus and the pardon of your sins, if you don't know the Master, you are in the right moment, in the right time.
Yes.
God didn't lead you here just by circumstance for you to hear this. He led you here because he wants you to experience a change. You can only delight yourself in the Lord when there is a change. Nothing happens that causes a delight until one changes. And the way that one changes is to confess that they are a sinner. God, I am a sinner. We all have to do this. The Bible said there is none that is righteous, no, not one. It says
not
that
one.
We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we
yes,
have
Lord.
A taste of a perpetual, I can't help us. Why? Because we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And because we were born in sin, God did not want us as man or the human experience to be left in a state that we would be separated from him. He loved his creation so much that he came up with a major rescue plan. And that major rescue plan was his son agreeing to come in the flesh and experience everything that man says. He said, Father, create for me a body. You want somebody to go, send me, I'll go. I'll fight through all of what they've been through and going through, and I will give my life as ransom for them. I'll take all their sins, and I'll take it to Calvary, and I'll nail it to Calvary's cross, and I will defeat sin, death, and the grave. And Lucifer, who has the power over their lives. And I will snatch the keys of death out in the grave, and I will arise with all power and might in my hand. Don't let somebody tell you that you can never change. The devil is a liar. Because Jesus is the power to change. If when we embrace him, accept him as our Lord and Savior, everything that you've been through is a part of your past. Not your future. When Jesus comes in, everything that you've committed wrong, he takes it away. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Behold, all things are old, and behold, all things become brand new. You're not who you used to be when Jesus comes into your life. But you must acknowledge it's a step that you must take. You must acknowledge that you are a sinner. You must acknowledge that you need Jesus Christ more than life itself. And you must accept him into your heart. And if you're ready to do that as a man, to change and become a part of a man that delights God, amen, pray this prayer with me. Father, I recognize that I am a sinner.
Father, I recognize that I'm a sinner.
And I am in need of your saving grace.
And I am in need of your saving grace.
I pray, Father, that you come into my heart.
Cleanse me of all sin.
And cause your Holy Spirit to dwell in my
heart.
And allow me to live for you. Within me to give your name the praise, the glory, and the honor.
Yes, honor.
That you would delight yourself in me. and I will delight myself in you.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, Father, seal this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. For every person, male and female, who prayed that prayer, Father, out of the depth and the sincerity of their heart, out of a broken and contrite spirit, which you said that you would in no wise cast out, I pray that you fill them with your Holy Spirit and save them for your glory and for your name's sake. This is what all of this is about. This is not about building a name or a reputation. This is about winning souls for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Because your word declares that all of heaven rejoices over the salvation of one soul. And God, I pray for the multitude of souls that heard this, that will later be redeemed because a seed has been planted, a seed has been watered, but it's you that bring it to fruit, to pass. And God, we thank you for the opportunity to speak life into someone's life this evening. In Jesus' great and powerful name we pray. Amen. And amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless you, man. I got caught with my phone on mute. I was talking and was really just sharing how you blessed me tonight by what God has used you to do. And I have to repeat this part because this was dynamic. Because I deal with this a lot of letting people pull me out of my comfort zone and to go somewhere they're pulling me to, even though I'm right, even though I know I've done everything in excellence. But when you made that illustration of Jesus just kneeling down and doodling in the sand, in the dirt, that just gave me revelation of what I need to continue to do to stay strong. So, yes, awesome word,
amen.
Awesome word, awesome word. Anybody else out there that would like to get into the conversation? This is Man Up. The word has went forth. This has been, you know, we've been talking, Apostle, man to man for the first 5-6 weeks of this network broadcast this season of 2022. And tonight God has delivered a word that I think everybody's just like, wow, this is what we needed to take us into knowing what a real delighted man in God is. And those characteristics are so profound. But anybody else want to get in the conversation, male or female, dial 1. We want to hear from you guys tonight. Amen. Amen. See, when the word goes forth, not much to be said. Pastor James Hudson out of Houston, Texas. Welcome.
How
to
we doing,
Land
my brother?
Come on in, brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Man, that was a mighty word. I'm in the gym doing my workout, but I got a chance to really get a good piece of that one. So, that, like he said, if you don't say nothing else, he didn't say it at all tonight, bro. And I mean, it really truly has. And one of the things I comment on, man, is this theory that we have where people think that it's a sign of weakness when we hug our children or kiss them or do whatever. I tell them I love you. I think that's what he used for me. I say that I love you. I make it a habit of telling my kids that. I don't want just my kids. Any young man that I've come close to or around at any given time, because I'm telling you, man, those three little words, man, can change a person's life. You know, sometimes, a lot of times, especially with men, guys get to a time where you don't think that nobody cares about you. You hear people say that all the time. Well, nobody care about me, especially young people, our teenagers, and our young adults. When you hear them make that statement, nobody care about me. Or, you know, my I don't even know who my daddy is. All that type of stuff. So it means something to them, and I know that for a fact because I know it's been said to me, and I know how I felt hearing it from another man, to the point that I was able to say, well, hey, if he can tell me he loves me, even with my friends or something, I don't know, Pastor, you know, I think he tells everybody, you tell everybody you meet that you love them. But no, on a serious side, even my friends, man, I make it a habit not to even let them hang up the phone, whether they're a man or female, and say, hey, man, well, I love you, man. I'm going to be praying for you. But I want to get those three words out there because you don't know what people are going through, man, sitting in some hotel room. look all around the country, man, all these people committing suicide. And it crosses all boundaries, man. I don't care if you're rich, poor, black, white, green, it does not matter. Just pay attention to the statistics of people just killing themselves, not somebody killing them. They are taking their own life. And a lot of times it's not about no finances or anything like that. They can't cope. They don't know who to go to or where to go. So if there's ever been a time, man, for us as brothers to pray and to make it a habit of telling people that you love them. If you got some issues, man, let's talk about it. Because if not, man, you know, we gonna continue to lose a lot of people at an alarming rate. Because again, like I said, especially, you know, we've got this pandemic moving around and a lot of people have been unemployed. You know, it's not easy for you to have a job and all of a sudden you don't have one, and you still, and your bills are still packing up on you. You know, you don't know which way to turn and what to do. So, man, I'm just glad I was able to get on here and get that word in me, man. And it was truly a mighty word, and that's why I try to join before. I try to join a man up as much as I possibly can. And I'm gonna make it a habit. I'm gonna make it my business to invite more men to get on this line because they need to hear that. So I did invite a couple of them earlier this evening when Pastor E sent me that. But I'm gonna make a special plea out to some people next week to just get on this line and listen, because we as men, we really need it, man. We really and truly need this. So that's all I'm gonna say for tonight, man. I love you guys, and you guys be blessed.
Bless you, brother.
Amen. God bless you.
Yeah.
Amen. Anybody else, you got a couple more minutes if you want to get in the conversation, want to just ask a Apostle question, or just, you know, I love the point where Apostle said that if you don't know him, you've been here, you've heard something exciting, it got you all bubbling inside. It's not indigestion. It is the Holy Spirit touching you, saying,
right,
this is your season. Down one, right now. We're not going to hang up. We'll wait for you. We'll wait to hear from you. Pastor Dwayne Collins out of Madison, Wisconsin. Man up.
Man up. Man up. Great word, Apostle. Great word. I was
God bless you, sir.
God bless you, sir. I was listening to what you were saying. You know, I got my grandson, you know, he's 2 months years old. I've been pretty busy with my grandson, you know, just taking care of him. And you hit that on point, man. You know, we really, really have to man up. You know, I'm learning some things that I didn't learn when I was, you know, growing up. Now that I got my grandson here with me in the house, I go to work, I take my wife to work, then my grandson be down there with her. And I just see this joy of birth in this young man, man. So, I'm already got his future together, how I'm going to take him to the ball games and spend time with him and talk with him, you know, because I got my kids are older now, you know, and I got this little guy, man. I'm like, I got to show him a better world than I, you know, when I was coming up and my other kids was coming up. So that was on point right there, man. That was the on time word for me, man. And I appreciate you sharing that word with the body, man, because that was we've been talking about man up for, since the show started back up, and how we can be a positive impact for the community to our young brothers and sisters, because nowadays there's so much shooting, man. It's too many young brothers dying, you know, and it's sad because we know better and we just don't get out. But you said something, man, and we got to do better, man. I know I got to do better for the city of Wisconsin. I'm grateful God has opened up the door again for me to even have a place to have worship at. You know, I can do great work now. I can get out and do outreach. I can invite them into the church and feed them, talk to them, and counsel them, and do something that I've been wanting to do for the last 4 or 5 years. So I got confirmation on that word tonight. So I'm gonna man up. I'm definitely gonna man up, man. And I
man
just
up.
Appreciate that word. I appreciate that word.
Amen. God bless you, sir.
God bless you. Bless you, Pastor. Bless you, Pastor Dwayne.
Bless you, too, Pastor.
God bless you.
Pastor Terry.
Amen.
Pastor Terry, come on in. Well, woman
praise
up,
God.
Oh, man up.
God, men of God. You know, Pastor E and Apostle Whitfield, this is man up. Sometimes I just sit back and listen. But I just want to say yes and amen, because as you started off, men delight serve the Lord. And that is men. That includes women, too. It's God, men, women, yes. and children. We should all have a delight in our spirit to just wake up serving the Lord in some kind of capacity. No matter how much of his word we have in us, we should be able to serve the Lord by just sharing him with others, those that don't know him. And you know what, Apostle Whitfield, I love what you said. Your real deal conversations with God. Prayer.
Yes.
Real deal conversations. And it ain't always about us. It's things that go on in the world. This thing, talking with God, having those conversations. Like some people think prayer has to be this big thing and has to be formal. It's your conversations, this time you're spending in your personal relationship to him. So, you know what, Pastor, I'm just over here excited, elated, just hearing you guys share, just to delight ourselves in God, in the Lord. Praise God. God bless you guys and love you all. Amen.
God bless
Amen.
You.
Love you too.
Amen.
Bless it. Amen. Well, we have done what the Lord has said. Man of God, you have released and we have received. I know I'm not the same. And I know I'm pushed. And I know I am encouraged that I can step it up a little bit higher. No matter, and I'll say this to anybody out there, no matter how good you think you're doing, you can still do better. Just try. Pray us out of here, man of God.
Sure thing. Amen. God bless you once again, Pastor E, for having me. And God
bless
each and
everyone. Love you, man.
Love you as well. Love you as well. Amen. Amen. So let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for the seeds that have been sown today by your Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. God, this is all for your glory. This is all for your namesake. This is not for anybody else. This is for your glory and for your namesake. Now, those that you have brought into the kingdom, God, once again, we rejoice over them. And those that have heard, I pray that this word will be a seed in their lives that will follow them to the point that it will grow in them and become a mighty, major seed because of what you have said. And God, we just thank you for the life of your Son, Jesus Christ, to whom all the glory and all the honor goes to. And we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you all, and we bless you once again in Jesus' name.
Family, know that you are loved, honored, and appreciated in Jesus' name. Thank you for joining us for our daily programming, and we sincerely thank you for your participation, prayers, and presence. If our ministries have been effective in blessing your growth in Christ, please join our covenant givers at Provoke2000Now.com to make all financial donations. Provoke2000Now.com. Again, we thank you for your willingness to covenant and to assist with the outreach ministry programs of the Now Network and P2P Ministries. With your help, we are able to respond and to meet the needs of the people and the communities that we serve. We pray that your life has been changed, rearranged, and transformed by the renewing of your mind. In Jesus' name.